Good morning. Today's Daphne Erevin Mem Tess. We are in Mem Chesim and Beis. We are towards the bottom of the Amud. We're going to begin this morning with the words Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, Zudivir Abi Shimon. Four lines from the bottom of the Amud. Okay. The Gemara is going to continue its discussion yesterday regarding the Gemara Chatzera. So let's just do a quick background, just get ourselves grounded in the beginning of today's Daf. You go all the way back to the Mishnah Mem Hei. This has been a long sugya, a lot of Gemara since that last Mishnah, and so a number of discussions that were had in that Mishnah, but one of the discussions is what happens when you have three people who, for whatever reason, were only afforded four amos for the Shabbos. In other words, they didn't have tchum. Again, for whatever reasons, we already went over a number of reasons in this perek, why somebody doesn't have tchum. It's certainly not the default. The default is that somebody's going to have tchum, but these people, each one of these three people didn't have tchum. And they were situated in a way where basically it was A, B, and C, right? That construct we're going to be seeing all morning, so just get used to it. So it's A, B, and C, and they're in a row. And so B is now in the center, and A and C are on the extremities. And there's a little bit of overlap between the extremities in the center. A overlaps with B, and C overlaps with B, but A and C don't overlap at all. So under those circumstances, so can A and B eat in their shared area? The answer is yes. Can B and C eat in their shared area? The answer is going to be yes. Can A and C eat in the shared area? No, because there are no shared areas. So they can't eat together. And A can't bring something over into B and share together with C, who brings it over into B. Okay, so in other words, the extremities are separate and excluded from one another. That is the case in the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon says, oh, okay, fine. What can we draw from that? So Rabbi Shimon says it'd be the same thing by Chatzeros. And so basically we're going to take the same construct and we're now going to apply to Chatzeros. So this is, again, all this is review. We've done this already. So it's very hard to do today's daf without having done all the previous Gemaras. But anyway, so so you have the three Chatzeros. And the three Chatzeros are lined up in a row, and each one of them opens up into that same Rishus Rabbim. So you have a street flanking all three Chatzeros. And now, what happened in these Chatzeros is that the Chatzer itself is a Rishus Yachid, and A made an Erev together with B. Chatzer A made an Erev with Chatzer B, and Chatzer B made an Erev with Chatzer C. So now, what can happen? So Rabbi Shimon says it's the same thing. So A can carry over into B, B can carry back into A. And B can carry over to C, and C can carry over back to B. But A and C can't carry one to another. So A and B have been unified. B and C have been unified, incorporated with an Erev, but A and C haven't been incorporated together. Okay, that was that's the halacha of Rabbi Shimon. Now, what we also noted already in yesterday's daf is the Chachamim don't agree in the case of the Chatzer. They agree in the case of the three people who happen to have Dalet Amos, but they don't agree in the case of the Chatzer. What's the difference? So the Gemara yesterday articulated the very basic difference, why the Chachamim won't agree. Because in the case of the three people, there are only three people to keep organized, to keep straight. So in other words, that one person who's person A, so he knows that he's limited to only being able to bring his whatever he's got. I mean, he doesn't got a lot, and he doesn't have a lot of room. But whatever he's got, he can bring over into B, and there's not going to be much confusion because there's only three people involved. And the one person on the exterior only has to keep one other person, you know, in his domain, and one other person not in his domain. It's not that hard. It's not that complicated. But in the case of Chatzeros, you have many people living in a Chatzer. Many people living in Chatzers A, B, and C. And now what are you going to tell everybody? Hey, everybody in Chatzer A, you can only bring your possessions over to B, but you can't bring it over to C. And you could just imagine that someone's going to bring it over from A to B, and somebody else is going to bring it over from B to C. And it'll be very hard to keep everything straight and organized. So the Chachamim say that by the Chatzer, it's just too impractical. We're not going to be able to have everyone organized to the point, and the communication is not going to be that clear, so that we know that everything is limited to only A and B, and anything's limited only to B and C. Good, that's why the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Shimon, that you can't take the case of the three people and then bring it over, extrapolate over to the case of the three Chatzeros. Good. So that was another point that we made yesterday. So it comes out now that we have a machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon in the case of three Chatzeros. In the case of three people, there is no debate. In the case of the three Chatzeros, there is a debate. With all that stated, that is all the necessary background, just to get us to this point in the Gemara. So now I'm Rav Yehuda Merav. So now picking it up where we left off yesterday. So we are towards the bottom of Memchesa Min Beis. So Gemara starts off, I'm Rav Yehuda Merav, Zu Divrei Rabbi Shimon. So this is the position of Rabbi Shimon. Av HaChacham HaMomrim, but what exactly is the Chacham's position? And that is, Rishos Achas Meshameshes L'Shtei Rishuyos, Av HaLoshtei Rishuyos Meshameshes L'Rishos Achas. Okay, so according to Rav Yehuda Merav, what exactly are the Chachamim's position who argue with Rabbi Shimon? So the way he describes it, he meaning Rav, the way Rav describes it, is that here, according to the Chachamim, it's not totally prohibited for the exterior to the interior and from the interior to the exterior. It's partially prohibited. And that partial prohibition, he states it in a way which really just it takes a number of times to go over it just to absorb what he's saying. But basically, here's what he's saying. Is that if you are in an exterior, either A or C, so you can, and you made an Eruv with B, with the interior, so you can now bring anything that you have over into B. Because when you are A, let's just right now start from the perspective of A. So when you are A, so now that means to say that you now join, you incorporated with how many other chatzeros? One. In other words, you only join with the interior. So from your perspective now, you are... you're being mishtamish one other rishus. Fine, that's great. So that means to say now that you can obviously carry within your chatzer, and you can on top of that carry with to the interior chatzer. Okay. And the same thing can be said by C as well. The C is just a mirror image of A. So C can now carry any of their possessions over into B. Okay. But here's the problem with B. The problem with B now is that B is straddling the fence. I'd say that almost literally over here. In other words, B now made an Eruv together with A, and together with C, independent of each other. In other words, they didn't make a one Eruv that incorporates everybody. That was yesterday's discussion. But rather, independently, they made one Eruv with A, and they made another Eruv with C. And so that means now that they're being pulled in two directions. So when you're being pulled in two directions, so now, no. You can't carry from B to A, nor can you carry from B to C. So, according to Rabbi Yehuda Merav's understanding of the Shita of the Chachamim, who argue with Rabbi Shimon, so the Chachamim's more strict position is not super strict. There is an allowance of carrying to go from the exterior to the interior, but not to go from the interior back to the exterior. Parenthetically, by the way, when Rashi describes all this, Rashi does, however, say that when you're A and you bring your possessions over into B, which you're allowed to do, you can bring it back into yours. It's just that people in the middle can't bring their possessions out to neither A nor C. Okay, anyway, but but that is all Rav Yehuda Merav's understanding. Kamri Sakamad Ishmael, continuing in the Gemara, that was opinion number one. That we'll call that Rav's position. Now we're going to go on to the second position, which is Shmuel. So Amar Li Afzu Divrei Rabbi Shimon. So Shmuel says, you have it totally misunderstood. What you just described, that ability to only carry from the exterior to the interior, but not from the interior to the exterior, that was Shitas Rabbi Shimon. Meaning it was Rabbi Shimon who was giving an allowance, who was being more makel in the case of the Chatzeros, but what you thought was a Chachamim's position, that's actually Rabbi Shimon's position. Okay, fine, so that's Rabbi Shimon's position, that movement can only go from the exterior to the interior, but not from the interior to the exterior. So then where does that take us in terms of the Chachamim? A wonderful question, but the answer is coming right now. But the Chachamim say no, all three are going to be Asur. So here within Shmuel's position, so everything gets shifted over a position. Rabbi Shimon now is going to be slightly more Machmir than we originally thought, and that you can only carry from the exterior to the interior, not from the interior back to the exterior. And meanwhile, Shitas Chachamim is that nobody can carry from one to another. Meaning the Chachamim say that, again, going back to the Svar that we gave yesterday, there are too many people over there. Once we allow for carrying to move from one Chatzar to the next, and again, theoretically, fundamentally, A made an error with B, and B made an error with C. So there should be allowance to carry things from A to B, and there should be allowances to carry from B to C or from C to B. However, again, it's just too many people, and it's just so disorganized, and there's just not enough communication, and so people are going to carry from A over to C. Okay, so the Chachamim say, therefore, it's all going to be prohibited. All right, so what we have over here is a Machlokas Amarayim, exactly how to understand the Machlokas Tanayim. So just to now hopefully keep everything nice and organized. So we know we have a machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon in the case of the three Chatzeros. We know that Rabbi Shimon is a make on the Chachamim or a Machmir. And now at this point in time, what we now have learned is that it's machlokes amarayim between Rav and Shmuel, exactly what the parameter of the machlokes of Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim are. And just quickly to say it again, according to Shitas Rav, Rabbi Shimon allows A to carry to B and B to carry to A. And B to carry to C and C to carry to B, meaning that there are two separate Eruvin, and the interior has now an Eruv going in each of the directions to the exterior. And it allows for two-way traffic from B to A to B, and from B to C to B. Whereas according to the Chachamim, as understood by Rav, so no, it's not two-way traffic. It's one-way traffic, meaning the exteriors can carry into the interior, but the interior cannot carry back to the exteriors because the interior is being pulled in two directions. That's Rav's understanding. And Shmuel's understanding is no. What we just said as the Shita, the Chachamim slide that over to Rabbi Shimon. It's Rabbi Shimon who only allows one direction carrying, going from the exterior to the interior. But meanwhile, according to Shmuel, the Chachamim say that there's no movement that's allowed whatsoever, neither from the exterior to the interior, and certainly not from the interior to the exterior. Good. Tanya Kavasa de Rav Yehuda Liba de Shmuel. The Gemara now is going to note that we have a Braisa. The Braisa here is going to be basically what we saw back in the Mishnah, but the way the Braisa phrases it, it's going to say it over just like Shmuel said it. And that is, Amar Rabbi Shimon Lamahadavadam, Rabbi Shimon says, what is this comparable to? L'shos chatzeros ha-psuchos l'lezu, when I have three chatzeros that are open, one to the other, u'psuchos l'rishos ha-rabim, and open up into the rishos ha-rabim. So, ir v'shtayim im emsais, if we made an eruv of the two, together with the middle one, zuma via mitoch besa veochelas, zuma via mitoch besa veochelas, zuma chazeros mosar lasoch besa, vezu machzeros mosar lasoch besa. That is all the shita of Rabbi Shimon. And by the way, what I said in Rashi that you could return it back to your home, that's the brisa. Okay, so right, I gave credit to Rashi, and meanwhile it's a brisa. All right, whatever. So, but anyway, what comes out now is that according to Shitas Rabbi Shimon, what's very clear in the Braisa is that Rabbi Shimon allows for carrying from one chatzer from the external from the exterior to the interior chatzer, but that's it. Meaning, but you can't carry from the interior to the exterior. This is exactly how Shmuel was saying over Rabbi Shimon. But according to the Chachamim, all three are going to be aser. Meaning, according to Shitas Chachamim, there can be no movement whatsoever between these three chatzeres. Okay, so this braisa over here says it exactly as Shmuel said it, and so right later we're going to pass on the halacha like Rabbi Shimon. What will not be clear later on is which version of Rabbi Shimon are we talking about? Are we talking about the more makel version of Rabbi Shimon, i.e. Rav's version, or the slightly more machmir version that we just went over in the braisa, Shmuel's version of Rabbi Shimon? I'll tell you where it gets confusing. Meaning, because on one hand, when you have a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, and it's Issur v'Heter, this is Issur v'Heter, so we paskin like Rav, which means that we should take the more lenient position. Meanwhile, the Gemara just quoted a braisa, and the braisa over here gives full endorsement to Shmuel's understanding, and there's no pushback. Meaning, the Gemara doesn't say that there's another braisa, there's a competing braisa. Okay, as you can see, in terms of the Pesach Halacha, now it would be challenging. We are continuing now. We're in the Gemara on Mem Testament Aleph, about a dozen lines from the top of the Amud, not even. So the Gemara now continues with this position of Shmuel, v'azva Shmuel atame. Now this is Shmuel being consistent with his reasoning, and that is as follows. Now, for the purposes of just framing the upcoming Gemara, so let's just keep clear that now Shmuel has an understanding of Rabbi Shimon. We're going to be assuming that Shmuel's passing like Rabbi Shimon, meaning that in of itself isn't necessarily evident in of itself, meaning without the upcoming Gemara, because Rabbi Shimon is going against the Chachamim, and as we just learned just a daf ago, Rabbi Shimon's viewpoint is not normally accepted against other Tanaim, not against Rabbi Yehuda, and certainly not against Rabbi Yossi. Okay, but this is Erevin, And generally speaking, like we also said a couple of days ago, halacha kedivrei hamekel be'erivin. Anyway, I'm making it a long story. Let me make it a short story. We're assuming the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. So Shmuel says that for Rabbi Shimon, So Karen can only be done from the exterior to the interior, but not from the interior to the exterior. And now, with that in mind, so we're basically going to say the same thing over in the name of Shmuel in a slightly different context. And as Vaz Shmuel Atame, Dam Shmuel Chatzar Shemen Shnei Mavos. So let's say I have a Chatzar between two Mavos. Okay, if you have a picture, it would be extraordinarily helpful just to see it and have a good visualization of what we're describing over here. But it's actually pretty straightforward. And that is, I have two Mavos running parallel one to another. The two Mavos run into a street. And on one side, on one Mavo, it flanks Chatzeros, exterior Chatzeros and an interior Chatzeros. I say interior because now that middle Chatzer also happens to be flanking the other Mavui. Okay, so basically, right, it's kind of like our streets, sans the walls. We don't have walls separating our streets from our front yards. But all right, so it's kind of like our streets that empty out into a larger street. Okay, it's not exactly the same. Over here, it's emptying out into Rishus Rabim. But anyway, and now you have this central Chatzer that's flanking two Mavui. So there's a street on one side and there's a street on the other side. And I say street, by the way, but we're learning Erevin right now. It's really a Mavli on each of the sides. So now, Chatzar Shemen Shnei Mavos. So we know that much like we talk about Erevin, in order to incorporate every member of the Chatzar so you can carry from your house to the Chatzar, so the same thing is done in terms of a Mavli as well. A different term is used. It's what's called Chitufei Mavos, but it's the same basic idea, that every member of the Chatzar now is able to make a Chituf so that now people can carry from the Chatzer into the Mavui. And over here, what becomes now of our middle Chatzer that's flanking two Mavuis on each of its sides. So here, it's going to be the same thing, according to Shmuel, as he passes like Rabbi Shimon. Da'amar Shmuel, Chatzer, Shebein, Shneim, Avos, Ervu, Im, Shneim, if an Ervu was made with the two of them, Asura, Im, Shneim, it's going to be prohibited with the two of them. Meaning that our central Chatzer cannot carry in either direction, not to either Mavui's on the outside. Now, why should that be? So again, because that central Chatzer now is being pulled in two directions. And this is Shmuel being consistent in that if you are a residence that's being pulled in two directions, so you are therefore not allowed to carry items to either direction. Now, lo irvum shneihem, osteris al shneihem. Now, here we get to a really interesting point and that's the following. If we're now going to be looking at a central Chatzer, and now the central Chatzer, let's now discuss a scenario in which they didn't make a contribution to either Shituf. They didn't make a contribution to the Shituf on its right side or on its left side. So now what they have done is that they prohibited the Mavui on either one of the sides. So fascinating. Meaning to say that when they make an Eruv, so now they have made a successful Shituf on both sides, despite the fact that they can't carry to either one of the Mavus, because again, they're being pulled in two directions. On the other hand, at the very same time, and I don't see this as a stira, although I can understand how this will be a little bit confusing, but on the other hand, if they don't make a contribution to either of the Mavus, so they are members of the Mavui, of each of the Mavuis, and therefore they need to make a contribution, and their failure to do so is now going to mean that not every member of each of the Mavuis has made a contribution to the Mavui, and therefore you don't have a Shituf. And that's exactly what Shmuel says, Lo irvuim shneim, osteros al shneim. Now, haisa be'echad regila ve'echad in regila. Okay, so now let's take a look at our same case over here, and Shmuel now makes the following qualification, and that is, let's say I have a central chatzer that has a Mavui on each of its sides. And let's say that it happens to be that just the traffic pattern is such that it typically favors one side over the other. So that's the Regila. The one that it favors is the Regila. And the one that it does not favor, it could go out to the other one, but in a Regila, just not a traffic pattern. And so Zusha Regila Bo Asr, Zusha in a Regila Bo Mutter. So in a scenario, where they didn't make an Eruv, a Shituf with either one of them, so it's only going to impact the one that they're accustomed to going and not the one that they are not accustomed to going to. Meaning the one that they're not accustomed to going to, they don't necessarily connect to that. Meaning physically they connect, but because of the traffic pattern, so they don't consider themselves to be part and parcel of the one that they don't normally go under. The Gemara makes a further qualification. Amar Rabba Baravuna, Iruvu im she'ina regila bo, huta regila la'atzmo. Let's say they decide to make an Eruv with the mavui that they don't normally associate with. Meaning that they have an opening over there, they normally don't walk there, but they happen to make an eruv in that direction. So hutar regila latzma. So basically what they've done is they've seceded from the other mavui. And therefore the other members of the mavui can now successfully make a shituf, and they don't have to include the central chatzar, since the central chatzar already established a shituf with another mavui. So, and even though it's one, the chiddush is even though it's one that they're not used to walking in. So at that point in time, so the members of the other mavui can now make a shituf and don't have to take the central chatzar into consideration. The Amar Rava Bar Rav Huna Amar Shmuel. One more point over here on this discussion, and that is im irva regila latzma v'zeshein regila ba lo irv. So let's say the mavui in which the central chatzar normally associates with, and they made an eruv, and the other mavui did not make an eruv. V'zushein regila ba lo irv. So the he atzma lo irva. Now the central mavui, the central chatzar, so they didn't make any contribution whatsoever. And so now consider that we have two mavuis, one where all members except for the central chatzar contributed to the shituf hamavos, and the other mavui, so all the members did not contribute. And so now of the one where everybody contributed except for the central chatzar, so they could say to the central chatzar, look, we'd love it if you made a contribution, meaning that in of itself would be great. But if for whatever reason you're refusing to make a contribution, so here's what we're going to tell you. And in the vernacular, basically get lost. But in the more legal way of saying it, we can now push you to the other mavui. Now, if the other mavui also was trying to make an eruv, so that they can't do. But if the other mavui wasn't trying to make an eruv, so now basically they could say to the central chatzar, look, as far as we're concerned, we'd love it if you contribute to our shituf, but if you don't want to, so you'll join another mavui, which you actually open up to, another mavui in which they didn't make contributions and they're not making a shituf, and so therefore you won't be impacting them at all, and you'll be helping us, by, you know, quote unquote, seceding from our mavui. And dochen osa etzol sheinu regila bo. And this is a perfectly legal maneuver. And in fact, you can force this because the behavior over here that's exemplified by the middle chatzar is midas tom. Midas tom, the Mishnah Perkei Avos says that shali shali v'shalcha shalcha. What's mine is mine, and what's yours is yours. So the Mishnah Perkei Avos describes it as midas tom. Now it happens to be, by the way, if you look at that Mishnah Perkei Avos, you will see that there are two opinions regarding that kind of behavior, where basically what's mine is mine and what's yours is yours. One way to describe that, says the Mishnah Perkei Avos, is that's mita benonis. That's average, right? You're not taking from somebody else, but at the same time you're not much of a giver. So benonis, that's one way to describe it. Although the Mishnah over there says another opinion is yesh omrim, that's mita stone. Okay, so over here it's funny. Our Gemara over here is definitely taking one side on this issue, but basically the mavui that's trying to make their shituf, the members of the mavui that's trying to make their shituf, is saying to the central chatzar, look, you want to make a contribution to ours, that's fine, and if not, you'll just simply join the other mavui. They're not making any attempt to make a shituf, and so therefore you're going to be helping us. You're not going to be losing out whatsoever. You know what? We want you not to behave like Sdom. Like the behavior of Sdom is basically like you're not, if it's no skin off your back, I'm not going to give. No, if it's no skin off your back, you should give. Right? The Gemara Baba Kama has a discussion of Zeh Nena v'Zeh Lo Chaser. Right? This one's going to benefit and this one's not losing out. Right? And the question of squatting in somebody's property where he's not renting it out. Okay, the Gemara over there in Baba Kama, that's also based on Kofin al Midas Dom. Meaning if you're not going to lose and I stand to benefit, so that's the behavior that you should be using. And over here in this circumstance, so the members of the Mavu who are trying to make a shituf, will tell the central chatzer, just move to the other side. Not physically, but in other words, redirect to the other mavui. And that way, if you're not interested in contributing to our mavui, at least don't hurt our mavui. Okay, I can. All right, that brings us now to the end of slightly complicated, but it's not so bad, discussion regarding the three chatzeros. Machlokus between the Chacham and Rabbi Shimon, Machlokus Amarayim between Rav and Shmuel, how to understand the Machlokus Tanayim. Okay, and that brings us now to the remaining part of today's daf. It does admittedly get a little bit easier. I'm Rabbi Yudah Mashmuel, HaMakbid Ala Yeruvo, someone's Makbid on his Eruv, meaning that he's making a contribution of bread to the Eruv, but he's Makbid. He tells everybody, in other words, right, remember that scene, the kid's coming around on Erev Shabbos with his basket? Everybody's going to be throwing in bread. That's going to be the Erev. That's going to serve to unify the chatzer, the members of the chatzer. So then now everybody can carry from the house to the chatzer. Okay, in other words, classic Erev. And now somebody puts the bread in, but basically puts the following note right next to his bread. Right, if you want, and you know, just slightly modern version, like puts it in a Ziploc and writes a note in the Ziploc. Nobody is allowed to eat this bread. This is my bread, and nobody can eat it. I'll put it into the basket, and I'll add it to the community Erev, but nobody eats it. So under those circumstances, is the Erev going to be good or not? So ein Eruvo Erev. And so this is not going to be an Erev. Mashmo, Erev Shmo, because it's called an Erev. Meaning the very word Erev itself would connote, right, going back to my days of English, so would connote that this is not the definition of an Erev. A definition of an Erev is something which unifies, which puts everyone together. So Erev Shmo Rashi, four lines down. Rashi four lines down, I forget why. Rashi says, Shikulam Uravim Umarutzim Bo. So everyone's going to be unified, everyone's going to be happy and at peace with one another. Shelo yimcha ze bechavero. Basically, where there's not going to be any kind of protest over here, and we're all, generally speaking, going to get along a lot better. And it's almost like a peace offering. Here, I'm putting bread into the basket, and we're all going to combine. Ela shutfus nocha ve'areva. It's a partnership. It's nice and it's areva. It's pleasant. So it's interesting, by the way. In other words, if I were to ask you what the definition of Erev is, meaning halachically, you know, we know what an Erev is. An Erev is a contribution that's made by every member of the Chatzir so that we can all carry now from our houses into the Chatzir because it unifies and incorporates. Good. That's the Erev. But in terms of the definition, the very definition of the word Erev, so within this Rashi, it's a little bit confusing. Rashi on one hand says it's Ma'arev. It mixes everyone together. And then the end of the Rashi, he says, Noche v'areva. It's pleasant. V'harevna. So the word areva also can mean it's something which is sweet and with something which is pleasant. So it's a, if you will, a pleasantry. I don't mean that in the vernacular, but anyway. So, good. It could be discussed in this Rashi in terms of what the actual definition of areva is. Anyway. So, that's one statement to Shmuel that somebody's makbid. So, he writes down, as he's putting his bread in the basket, he's writing down, nobody's allowed to eat this bread, so that is counter the entire institution of Erev, and the Erev is not good. Rabbi Chanina Amar, Erev Erev. So, Rabbi Chanina says, no, the Erev is fine. El Shenikri Anshe Vardina, but rather, this particular community is going to get branded. They're going to be called Anshe Vardina. Okay? Noted society, a noted group of people, who are Rashi's description over here. I just had it. Rashi, the Divrei HaMaskil is at the end of the line. Rashi's description at the beginning of the line, Sikanim Hayu. They were extraordinarily cheap. Okay, so fine. So the Erev technically works, but certainly when we're looking in which terms of which community to move into, and you happen to be somebody who enjoys the company of others, and you like a more generous community, this is not the kind of community you would want to move into. Fine. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, another halacha by Shmuel regarding an Erev hacholik as Eruvo, Einu Erev. Let's say the Erev was collected, but it was put into a separate basket. Okay, so in other words, so I come in and I put my Erev in, but, oh, that's the basket everyone's putting their Erev in, I'm going to put it into a separate basket. So under those circumstances, the Erev is not a good Erev. Now, this seems to be a repetition of his first point. We're going to come back to that in just a moment. But in the meantime, the Gemara, however, is bothered just by this position altogether. Keman ke Beit Shammah, the Gemara says, and this is the second day in a row that we were introduced to this Machlokes Beit Shammah and Beit Hillel. We saw it in yesterday's daf. We're seeing it again in today's daf. Keman ke Beit Shammah, the Tanya, we learned on a Braisa, Chamisha Shigavus Eruvan. That five people now are collecting an Eruv. And the Erev now was put into two separate Kelim. Beit Shammah Omrim Ein Zeh Erev, or Beit Hillel Omrim Harei Zeh Erev. So Machlok between Beit Shammah and Beit Hillel whether this works. Beit Shammah says it doesn't work, and Beit Hillel says it does work. So the Gemara says, so over here, when somebody's putting his bread in a second basket, so you're telling me in the name of Shmuel that it's no good? What do you mean? Machlok is Beit Shammah and Beit Hillel. And it's Beit Shammah's position that's no good, which means that that's the position that we don't accept. We only accept Beis Hillel's position, which is that it's good. Shmuel can be going against Beis Hillel. So the Gemara's explanation. Afilu tema Beis Hillel. Ad kan lo kamri Beis Hillel hasam. Ela demayan lamana vi'i yaser. Ava hacha depalge mifleg lo. So the Gemara makes a very simple distinction, and that is that if, let's say, the basket is just simply not big enough, and we're collecting bread, and more bread are going in, and we just simply need a second basket. So in order to take the overage, just too much bread to fit into one basket. So on that, under those circumstances, Beis Hillel says that's perfectly fine. But in the case where someone deliberately goes out of his way to say, no, I am not putting my bread in the communal basket, I'll contribute bread, but I'm only going to put it in a separate basket, that's where even Beis Hillel would say, under those circumstances, here it doesn't work. Okay, and so basically, the Gemara's question is very simple now. We basically have two halachas of Shmuel. They seem to be identical to one another. In the first, he writes a note on the bread. No one's allowed to eat it. In the second, he goes out of his way to put the bread in a different basket. In both of those circumstances, Shmuel says that the Eruv is not a good Eruv, and the Gemara now questions why it is I need both of these. They seem to be making the same point. So Tzricha Diyash Min Hasam Mishum Dekapit over there. The person's clearly being makbit. Ava Hachem Alo. But in the case where you're putting it in a second basket, you didn't tell anybody you're not allowed to eat it. He just simply put it in a different basket. I mean, certainly we could extrapolate and we could suggest that he doesn't want someone else to eat it, but it's not as bad as the case of somebody being makpid. So the halacha, the second halacha, is there to tell me that even if he doesn't articulate and say nobody eat it by virtue of the fact by putting it into another basket, that pretty much tells us where he stands on the issue. Now, we can also go in the other direction. In the case where you put in another basket, okay, fine, so we put in another basket. And that made a physical separation. But over here, he didn't physically separate his bread from the others. He put it in the same basket, in the communal basket. It just happens to be that he also wrote a note on it saying nobody touch it. But I could have made the argument, but at least he's in the same basket. So tzricha. So arguments could be made. If I only had one of those two statements of Shmuel, we could make an argument why the other case would be different. Still a Mem Tesamid Aleph towards the bottom of the Amud, as the lines start getting wide. Amr le Rabbi Abba le Rabbi Yehuda. Bebe Ma'atzarsa debe Rav Zakai. So a discussion between Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Yehuda, and they were by the wines of Rabbi Zakai. Mia Mar Shmuel, did Shmuel say Acholak is Eruv Aino Eruv? So if you go ahead and you take your bread and you put it in a separate basket, it's not a good Eruv. Amar Shmuel, Beisha Menichem Bo Eruv Aino Tzarech Litein Esapas. Let's say you're the host of the Eruv. Okay, and nowadays the host of the Eruv is our shuls, right? An old minug, right? It's not a modern convention, right? This is an old minug that the basket of bread, and as you can well guess. It's not bread that's collected, it's matzah. And as far as the collection itself is concerned, so no one came to your door and asked you for your contribution of matzah, it was done on your behalf. Okay, more of that we'll discuss later. But anyway, but if you're the host, so you don't have to add bread. And this was said over in the name of Shmuel. Now, at this point in time, why? Why is it that the host of the basket, meaning we're going back to where the basket was kept in somebody's house, meaning one of the residents' house. Not like in more modern times. I say modern. I mean, it's an old minhag now that's been going to the shul, but it's not like nowadays where it goes in the shul, but back in the day, went into somebody's house, the host does not have to add bread. Now, my time, and now why not? So the Gemara now is envisioning the reason why is because the host has got bread somewhere. In other words, it's not in the basket, but somewhere else in his house. And that's why he doesn't have to add to the bread, because there is bread somewhere in his house. But now, if this is correct, so the Gemara says, Hachanami, kevim damanach basal, kevim damanach hachadami. Now, if that's correct, so basically what we just learned together is that even according to Shmuel, as long as the bread is there, it doesn't have to be in the same basket, that's going to work. And that goes against what we just learned in the name of Shmuel, because we just learned that if a person goes out of his way to put it in another basket, so that's no good. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you're misunderstanding the halacha of the host. So Amar Le Hasam Afa Pisha Ein Pas. So the Gemara says, you misunderstood. The reason why the host does not have to make contributions to the bread is not because there's already bread in his house somewhere else. That's not the explanation at all. But rather, the explanation goes as follows. My taima, dekulu hacha daire. The explanation is that everybody lives here. Meaning that symbolically, when people put bread in one person's house, it's basically the way the Erev is working is that everybody has a stake, a holding, in, if you will, within this one person's house. It's a symbol of unification. Well, as far as the host is concerned, he doesn't need a symbol. He actually lives in this house. So his symbol is the strongest symbol in that he actually lives in the house. That's why he doesn't have to contribute bread. It's not because of the bread that he has in his pantry. Amar Shmuel, Erev Mishum Kenyan. And here we are, Erev in Daf Memtes, right? A little bit less than halfway through the Masechta. And now, how does Erev work? Okay, and as per typical of the Gemara, like some of these most fundamental questions comes some at some point in the midpoint of the Masechta. So here we are, at the midpoint of the Masechta, and how does Erev work? Specifically, Erev Chatzeros. So the Gemara has a discussion, a debate on this issue. So Shmuel says, Erev Mishum Kinyan. So when everyone is adding bread into the basket, so really what they're doing is that they're making a monetary contribution. In other words, Kinyanim, they're acquiring. Now, what exactly are they acquiring? So, if you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi towards the bottom. So, Erev Shuhu Mitzarf and Taima Mishum Kinyan, Shemaknalu Balabais Rishu So, Vinimsu Kulam Balim Bebaize. So the way Rashi describes it is that you're actually acquiring a portion of one person's house. Now, even as we say Kenyan, it doesn't mean now that the person who is hosting is actually relinquishing, giving up a portion of his house. Even within Kenyan, it's not an absolute acquisition, but in terms of the mechanism of how Erev works, it's working via Kenyan. Even though the person doesn't actually lose his house, but that is Shmuel's understanding that it operates through Kenyan. Now the Im Tamar Mimneima in Konim Bama. So now when the kid goes around with the basket, so instead of collecting bread, why not collect coins? Meaning these are Kenyanim. Everyone's making a purchase and making an acquisition of one person's house. So why not just everyone add a coin? So the Gemara says it's a pragmatic issue because the collection is done on Erev Shabbos. On Erev Shabbos, what do people have? People have food. People don't have money. People spent their money on food. So just pragmatically, so that's why it's going to be bread. So so the Gemara says, okay, but let's say for whatever reason someone wants to add money into the basket. So right, when the kid's going around with the basket, so money should work, shouldn't it? So the Gemara says no. Gzeir Hashem Yomru Ma'a Iker V'Zimnan De Lo Shchech Ma V'Lo Asi Le Eruve B'Pasta Ay De Asi Eruve La Akokule. So the Gemara says no, because once you start getting money involved, so then people understandably will think to themselves, oh, so how are you Ma'ariv? Oh, it's got to be money. In other words, once money is introduced into the process, so people are going to understandably give much more weight, much more credence to money. People will therefore not think that bread is acceptable. And so in the circumstance where they don't have money, they just have bread, so they're going to think that they're going to not be able to participate in the Erev. So to keep everything standard and unified, so therefore it was mandated that the Erev has to be, the acquisition of Erev is done with bread, not with money. Okay, so that is all one opinion in terms of how the institution of Erev Echaseros works. It is a Kenyan. Rabba Amar, the Gemara gives us now the counter-argument, and that's Rabba, which is Erev Mishum Dira. No. The way that Erev works is that you're establishing residence. Everybody's adding bread. That all the members of the Chatzir's bread now are going to go into one person's house, and that basically is another way of symbolizing and saying, hey, I now have residence in that one person's house. Everybody has residence in that one person's house, and that is the mechanism in which Erev is going to be unifying everybody together. So it's not a kinyan, it's just simply establishing residence in one person's house. Might be now the Gemara says, okay, so now we have two ways to say it in terms of what is the svara of Erev. Is it Mishum Kinyan or is it Mishum Dira? So there's no purpose of talking about this without Nafkaminas. The Gemara says, fine, I'll give you Nafkaminas. So the Gemara says, Mai Binayu, Ike Binayu, Kli, Upachas Mishapruta, Vikatan. So the Gemara gives three Nafkaminas in terms of how this is all going to play out. And Rashi on the bottom writes as follows. Let's go through each one of the Nafkaminas through Rashi. Lamanda Ami Mishum Kinyan, Yecholin Liknos, Besudar, Kederach Shar Kinyan. Let's first start off with Kli. Kli says Rashi is another way of saying Kinyan Suter, which means as follows. As we know, that in terms of Kinyanim, how Kinyanim are made. So Kinyanim are made in a number of different ways, but the Gemara tells us that one way to make a Kinyan, and the way that is happens to be true both for Metaltalin and for Karka as well, is what's called the Kinyan Suter, which is that we take an item and it transfer the item from one to the other, from one of the members of the transaction to the other member of the transaction, and then it's returned. In other words, it's just simply symbolic to show that a kinyan was made, and this is what's called kinyan suter. So, as far as kinyan suter is concerned, so if the way that Erev works is through kinyan, and so then you can do a kinyan suter. If it's only done through residence, so then you can't do it through kinyan suter. That's one. Number two, let's say Embo Shav Apruta. Let's say you contributed with bread, but the bread is less than that of Apruta. So that now, and Rashi points out that Filo Havia Mazum Be Seudos. And even if it's less than two Seudos, so under those circumstances, so then it would be good if you hold that was Dira, so that would be fine. If you hold that it's a Kenyan, you can't make a Kenyan with less than a Shav Apruta. And finally, that of Katan. When it comes to a Katan, so we know that a katan can establish dira, but a katan can't make a kinyan. Now, yes, it's true that in other areas in the Gemara does describe katan making kinyanim. Lulav is the prime example, but that is only when there's adult around. In other words, a katan by himself cannot create a kinyan, and so therefore, if the issue is kinyanim, it can't be done through a katan. If the issue is dira, so it presumably can be done through a katan. So, fine. So the... So what we find over here is three nafkaminas in terms of whether it's mishum kinyan or whether it's mishum dira. On the top of the amud beis, on memtes amud beis, amar le abai le rava liditcha kasha ulishmul kasha. So Abai says, I have difficulty. I have difficulty with Rabba's position. I have difficulty with Shmuel's position based on the following hatanya. We learned in the following braisa. Chamisha shagabos eruvan. So the Breiser later on is going to be discussing the following scenario. We have a chatzir. Five people live in our chatzir. Parenthetical note, by the way, every time, I mean every time. There may be exceptions. I don't think so. But every time when describing a chatzir and the residents of the chatzir, it's always five residents in the chatzir. I don't know why five became like the operative number. But it's almost always true. I guess I'll look out now to see if it's, you know, if there's any rule breakers over here. But anyway, so you have one chatzir, five people are part of this chatzir, and they make an error, so now that they can carry within this chatzir. Okay, it happens to be that this chatzir abuts another chatzir, and there's a Pesach, and there's an entrance that allows access from one chatzir to the next. So now what we could do is, like we discussed earlier this morning, is that the two chatziris now can make an error of one to the other. So if this chatzir already made an eruv, now to make an eruv with another chatzir, you don't need all five members. One person now simply needs to make a contribution to the other chatzir in order combining the two. And that's all that's necessary. So this is going to be difficult. Meaning whether you say that eruv operates through kinyan or whether you say that eruv operates through dira, so I don't understand, of the five members of chatzir A, now only one of them established either kinyan or dira in chatzir B. Four of the members didn't do anything, neither kinyan nor dira. So how does all this work? both according to the Shita of Shmuel and according to the Shita of Rabbah. So who knew the Kekani? The Gemara just simply articulates the question in both directions. So a kinyan was made by one of the members of Vesula, but no more. Who knew the Kadayer? He's the one that's living there, meaning the one who actually made the Erev, Vesula, and nobody else. So Amar Leila, Didi Kasha, V'lo Shmuel Kasha. So the Gemara says, no, it's not a Kasha in either direction. Shlichus to Kulo Ka'aved. The Gemara says that it's Shlichus in both directions. Meaning, as you probably already guessed, the Gemara says is that the one person who is making the Erev with the second Chatzir, so he is, he's an agent. He's basically serving as a Shliach of all the other members. And makes sense, by the way, because Chatzir A already made an Erev, meaning that they're already incorporated. So now you have a partner of this corporation that's now going, and the assumption is that all the other members, all the other partners are going to be willing participants. This only helps, it doesn't hurt, right? By Erev, the Gemara says this a number of times, by Erev, by making an Erev, you're assuming that all the other members want an Erev to be made. It's only going to create positive allowances to carry from your house to the chatzir, to carry from this chatzir to the other chatzir, and there's no downside to making the Erev. So we assume that all the other members are going to be happy with the shlichus. And finally, Amar Rav, Chama Bar Guri, Amar Rav, Halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. The halacha, in fact, falls like Shitas Rabbi Shimon. In that, in the case of the three chatzeros that are lined up in a row, and A made an Erev with B, and C made an Erev with B, but A and C did not make an Erev one with the other. So under those circumstances, we pass on like Rabbi Shimon, who is more makel. Like I said earlier, but now I get to restate it, which version of Rabbi Shimon? Because as we learned in today's daf, there are two versions of Rabbi Shimon. There's Rav's version and Shmuel's version. Rav says it's a two-way street. A can carry over to B, B can carry back over to A. And same thing with B and C. But according to Shmuel's version of Rabbi Shimon, it's only one directional. A can move their items over into B, but B cannot move their items over into A. And why not? Because B is being pulled in two directions. Once you're being pulled in two directions, so therefore you do not have the allowance of carrying in either direction. Even though, oddly enough, it's really, I didn't stress this enough earlier this morning, it's difficult. It's a difficult halacha to understand. Meaning, on one hand, the Erev is valid. On the other hand, because you're being pulled in two directions, so therefore you can't carry in either direction. Okay. It is admittedly a difficult way to understand it, but that was Shmuel's understanding of Rabbi Shimon. And so when the Gemara passes like Rabbi Shimon, what the Gemara does not discuss is which version are we talking about? Are we talking about Rav or are we talking about Shmuel? And also, just to reiterate a point we made earlier, in terms of which way you can go, you can make an argument in either way. Meaning this is Isser, in terms of Erevin. So when we talk about Isserin, Halachic Rav, Isserin. So that is going to be... that's going to be the more lenient position. And in terms of being more lenient, so generally speaking, we're more lenient when it comes to Erevin, so that also would favor Rav. So both of those would direct us to the position of Rav. On the other hand, the Gemara quoted a Brisa that said it over just like Shmuel did. And the Brisa has, it's not the most authoritative, but it's very authoritative. And so, okay, I made that point earlier. Let us read the Mishnah. So over here, we're just going to go through the Mishnah, the upcoming Mishnah. It's pretty straightforward. The Gemara tomorrow is going to be a little bit difficult, but the Mishnah is pretty straightforward. So, Misha Babader v'chashkalo, so the person's walking home. All right, so he's coming home from a long journey, he's on foot, and he's walking back into his, he's walking back to his house. Let's right now, for the moment, leave a city out of the discussion, because I just want to keep it nice and simple. So that means that here's the person, there's his house, and it is more than 2,000 amas away. So, and Shabbos now is coming, and he's just not going to make it home in time. So, the Hayamakir Ilan Ogeder. Now, there happens to be that between him and his house right now, either a tree or a fence, and it's going to basically serve as a landmark. And he knows the road well, and he knows the tree well, and he knows the fence well. And he said that I want my Mokam Shvisa to be underneath the tree. The tree currently, where he is positioned right now, is within 2,000 amas of where he currently is. So lo amar klum. What he said was ineffective. And now, in terms of distance, he's clear. The problem is that he wasn't specific about where in the area of the tree. The tree is a very large area, and he wasn't specific. If he's going to throw his makam shvisa to a place, he has to be very specific about where it's going to be. We're going to see this now in the contrasting case of the Mishnah. So, shvisaso bi'ikaro. If he said that I want my shvisa to be under the trunk of the tree, so now he's specific. Mahalach mimakum raglava adi karo apai mama. So now it's good. So he just threw out his makum shvisa. Now, it's obvious, but I'll say it. You can only throw your makum shvisa to a specific place. And, of course, it has to be within 2,000 amas of where you're currently situated. So, fine. So, as long as you have that, as long as you have those both of those requirements, so now we can walk to the tree, which is within 2,000 amas. And mahalach mimakum ragla v'adi karo pai mama. Sorry. Umikaro v'ad beso pai mama. And now, assuming that the tree is within 2,000 amas of his house, he can now walk home. Nimsa mahalach mishecha shecha arba pai mama. Now you basically were given the allowance to walk 4,000 amas. Because even though you were 4,000 amas away from your house, but because of where the tree was situated at the midpoint between you and your house, and because you threw over your makam shisa to the tree where your tree are allowed to do, so now you walked a total 4,000 amas. That's very good. Imeno makir. Now let's say that there's no known landmark. So he's just simply not able to throw his makam shisa. The Makam Shvisa has to go to a specific location. There's no landmark right now separating him and his house. Oshene Baki Ba'alacha, or let's say, he just happened not to know the halacha. V'amar Shvisa Sibim Kami, and he establishes now Shvisa to be right under where he is. So, Zachalo Mimakam Apaim, Ama L'cho Ruach. So now, you can go 2,000 amas in every direction from where you currently are. Okay. Agulos, Divrei Rabbi Chanin Ben Antignos. And now, just such a simple question. And that is that how does the tchum work? How does 2,000 amas work? So according to Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos, so it is it's a radius. It's 2,000 amas radius, and you're at the center of the radius. So basically now you're creating a circle where in every direction is 2,000 amas. So basically you have a boundary of a circle. V'chachamim omrim meruva os betavla merubas k'deshi niskar lezavios. Now, the sheet of the Chachamim is that, no, basically what you're going to do is that you're going to take 2,000 amas in the north, south, east, west direction, and let's assume for the purpose of this discussion, due north, due south, due east, due west, and you're going to go 2,000 amas every direction, and then what you're going to do with that is you're going to create a square. Now, obviously, what that does is it gives you the diagonal, meaning that now the diagonal is going to be 1.4, a multiple of 1.4, more than the 2,000 amas. Take 2,000 and multiply it by 1.4. Okay, a little geometry for this morning. Anyway, you get the corners. The corners are going to be, so to say, a bonus, if you will, according to the Chachamim. V'zui she'amru ha'ani ma'ari b'raglav. Now, if you're poor, you can make an eruv with your legs. Meaning, you're traveling, you don't have food with you, so you can make an eruv with your legs. Amra be a mayor. Anu Englanu Ella Ani. Now perhaps this Mishnah sounds familiar. We just did this a couple of days ago when discussing the Klali Apsak. So here in the Mishnah Machlok Shin Rameir and Rav Yehuda. Rameir says that the only one that can make an Eruv is only going to be the Ani. In other words, an Ashir cannot make an Eruv with his legs. An Ashir has to make it with food. And Rav Yehuda Amar Echad Ani Vechad Ashir. And Rav Yehuda says no. Both a wealthy person and a poor person can make a Eruv with their legs. Lo amr marvin bepas, this idea of making Eruv with bread is ela lahakel ala ashir. Sorry, let me read that sentence again. Lo amr marvin bepas ela lahakel ala ashir shelo yetze veye are veraglav. The only reason why an Eruv can be made with the bread is to just create a leniency for somebody who's wealthy. Meaning instead of having to walk over to that place, he can now send bread, he can send it with somebody else. But in terms of making an Eruv with your legs, that could be done by either an Ashir or an Ani. That is the Shita of Rebbe Yehuda. And again, go back to what we said earlier, Machlokes Rebbe Yehuda and Rebbe Meir, so the halacha falls like Rebbe Yehuda. That was what we learned in the Klalei Pesach. Okay, it gives us a wonderful opportunity to review today's daf. Let's do so. We start off our morning discussing further the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim in the case of the three chatzers lined up in a row. So I have A, B, and C. The two exteriors, A and C. I have the interior, B. And B made an Eruv with A. B made an Eruv with C. But that was it. In other words, under those circumstances, now, who can carry where? So we know we have a machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim in terms of who can carry where. And within that machlokas, and we know that Rabbi Shimon's the Mekel and the Chachamim are the Machmir. Within that machlokas, so a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, how to understand the limits of or the allowances of Rabbi Shimon. I'll just deal with it from Rabbi Shimon's standpoint. And according to Rav, so what Rabbi Shimon allows is only one directional transfer. The people in the exteriors can bring into the interior, but the people in the interior cannot bring to the exterior. It's so funny. We just said over so many times this morning. Sorry. Rav is even more lenient. Rav says that according to Rabbi Shimon, it means that two-directional. C can go to B can go to C. And A can go to B, and B can go to C. Okay, sorry. I got confused. Hopefully, understandably. And Shmuel says no. Shmuel says that the shita of Rabbi Shimon is that A can carry over to B, but B can't carry back over to A. And the reason why is because Shmuel has this idea of being pulled in two directions. When you are the central chatzer and you made Eruvim in two different directions, so you're being pulled in two directions, and that disallows you from being able to take your stuff and bring it to either one. Even though, this is really the part that requires like heavy thinking, even though the Eruv is valid, and even though the Eruv works, allowing the exterior to carry to the interior, but because the interior is being pulled in two directions, the interior can't carry to the exterior, to either of the exteriors. Okay, that's Shmuel's big idea for today. The Gemara noted that this idea also plays out in the case of a chatzer that has mavuis on both sides. So it comes out to be the same thing, that when you have a chatzer and a mavui on both sides, so and a sheet of mavos was made in both directions, so now every other member of each of the mavuis can carry into the mavui, but the central chatzer cannot carry into either of the mavuis, again, because they're being pulled in two directions. Okay, same thing. And then the Gemara noted a number of qualifications in this case of the chatzer that has a mavui on both of its sides, a number of different permutations. Including, sorry, I'm not going to go over everyone right now in the review, but including the idea that if, let's say, one mavui group wants to make a shituf, and the other mavui group does not want to make a shituf, and you have this central chatzer who's not interested in participating in either, so the members of the group who want to make a shituf will say to them, look, you go ahead and you divert yourself to the other one, because you're not going to lose, and we're going to gain. And this is what's called Kofen Amidah Stom. So we got to speak about this idea of Kofen Amidah Stom this morning. Another set of halachas that are set over in the name of Shmuel, and basically that is a person who is extraordinarily stingy. He's going to contribute to the Eruv, but he writes a note on his bread, right? Nobody can eat this. Or he's going to contribute to the Eruv, but he insists on putting it in a separate basket. So under those circumstances, both cases, Shmuel said it's no good, because that defies the definition of Eruv. Eruv is incorporation. It's pleasantry. It's basically unifying everyone together. And under those circumstances, this is not an Eruv. Not everyone agrees with Shmuel on these halachas, but anyway, that's Shmuel's position. It seems to be the accepted position. The Gemara continues with describing the host of the Eruv, meaning eventually all this bread and the basket is going to go into one person's house, and the host does not himself have to contribute. Why should that be? So the explanation that's given in the name of Shmuel is, well, the Shmuel said over the halacha, but in terms of an explanation, so the Gemara says it's because the bread is basically symbolic of the idea that everyone lives in this house, and the person who actually lives in this house doesn't need any symbolism. He actually lives there. That's why he doesn't have to contribute to the basket, which brings us then to one of the most basic questions that's asked, and that is, how does a chatzer actually work? Chatzer works when everyone makes a contribution. So what is the halachic mechanism in which allows for incorporation? So is it that everyone's making a small kinyan, or is it that everyone is symbolically showing that they reside in that one person's house? So that was a machlokus between Amorayim, between Shmuel and Rabbah. Shmuel was of the position that it operates through kinyan, and Rabbah was of the position that operates through dira. Nafkaminas, the Gemara gave three nafkaminas. If it's kinyan, so then you could use a kinyan sitter. If it's kinyan, so then you can't use something which is less than a shava pruta. If it's kinyan, so then a katan can't do so. Okay, so in dira and all those circumstances, the halacha would be the opposite. Okay, and then on the Amud Beis of today's daf, so we discussed a question on both of those shitas. Once you have one chatzer that incorporated, now they want to incorporate with another adjoining chatzer. So you only need one person of chatzer A. in order to do so. How does that work? In other words, four other members of the chaser didn't do a kinyan, didn't establish dira. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the one person who went ahead and made a chaser, he's serving as a acting agent on behalf of everyone else over there. Good. And then finally, the Gemara concluded that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon in the case of the three chatzeros. Which version of Rabbi Shimon? I left that as an open-ended question. And finally, the Mishnah. The Mishnah Mem Tesamun Beis. The Mishnah taught us that if a person is walking home, knowing he's not going to make it home before Shabbos, but there is a landmark that he's familiar with that's at the midpoint. And, I mean, this really has to work to, you know, he's got to be really lucky. But if the landmark is within 2,000 amos of where he is, and the landmark is within 2,000 amos of his home, he can throw his Makom Shvisa to the landmark right before the Bein HaShemashos, and now that landmark is going to serve as his Makom Shvisa. And now he can walk 4,000 amos in order to get home. Now the landmark for the remainder of the Shabbos is going to be his Makom Shvisa. But as we learned, that only works if there's a landmark, and on top of that, he's also extraordinarily specific about where his Makom Shvisa is going to be. Simply to say it's under the tree is insufficient. He's got to say it's got to be Be'ikaro, it's at the base of the tree, at the trunk of the tree. In terms of establishing Tchum, so is it just simply a radius that's drawn around him, so that Tchum is going to look like a circle around him? Or are we going to be able to square the circle? A machlokas hatanayim in the Mishnah. And finally, last machlokas we saw this morning, machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, regarding making an eruv with your legs. Is that something that's limited only to the ani? Or can it even be done by an usher? Machlokas Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says that everybody can make an eruv with their legs. In other words, by being in the place. The eruv that's done with food, with the shtei seudos, that's just a special dispensation that's given for people who can afford it, and it makes their lives a little bit easier. But everybody can be ma'ariv b'rago.